Let's kick off another episode of the World Series of Politics podcast, where Brendan Bussman and Brant Eyden march down the field on key political, legislative, and regulatory developments in the gaming sector. As these titans square off on the issues facing the industry, this podcast highlights the current opportunities and challenges for expansion and reform. Let's see what the game plan is for this episode of the World Series of Politics.
Welcome back to the World Series of Politics podcast. I'm your host, Brant Eyden, along with my co-pilot, my quarterback. Last time I used captain or center, he didn't like that, so we'll give him quarterback. Brendan Bussman, how the hell are you? It looks like you're in Las Vegas, your home.
I am actually here in Las Vegas this week, or at least the beginning portion of this week, and I'm glad you bring up the football reference, because I am merely in town for the College Football Hall of Fame dinner this week to see my former boss and well-deserving football coach, Frank Solich, get inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame.
Well, that is a great reason to be home. And of course, so I have to bring this up. And you asked me, and I said, I'm going to surprise you with it. So usually
I'm waiting for this.
Usually I wear a Fanatics t-shirt, as everyone knows. But here's the problem. A listener recently brought up to me, Brant, do you have any other t-shirts? You only wear Fanatics t-shirts on the podcast. And I said, well, yes, I work for a t-shirt company. So, of course, we are defending the Den, the Lions. They're great. The Lions are on a roll. These are my guys. We're talking football. They've gotten lucky the past two games. I know that. But you know what? We're going to keep it rolling. It's obviously been a great season. However, and this is my pivot. Here's where it gets big, right? That's the only good news to come out of Michigan, because last week, the Michigan legislature introduced this wacky bill. Here it is, Christmas time, and Santa comes sliding down my chimney with a lump of coal from Michigan, trying to change the tax rates on iGaming and sports betting. I mean, I'm sure you saw that, right, Brendan?
You don't remember me calling you last week in a panic, going, what the bleep is going on in your home state, and why are they destroying the legacy? That said, as you well know, you'll remember when you passed iGaming and sports betting, what was my first comment to you when it passed and signed by the governor?
I actually think you said the taxes are too high, of all things.
Yes.
Well, I think you actually said. And now here we are debating my
episode. Here we are. Still people trying to screw with what was already too high. I mean, we might as well go to that other piece of model legislation that puts a floor in the damn tax rate.
Now, look, I mean, I'm telling you, I'm beside myself. Obviously, the Michigan legislature is in lame duck. There's 2 weeks left. This will play out. Michigan is trying to raise money for county roads, excuse me. And so, you know, this is one of the paths. There's going to be a lot of advocacy, a lot of education that happens on this for the next 2 weeks. We're going to follow it very closely, but we certainly hope that the Michigan model stays intact. It's a very successful model, and we certainly hope that that continues on. So we have, of course, I would be remiss. I need to introduce my wonderful guest today. We have got a great show. We are talking a little bit of 2024. We're talking 2025, and I am joined by the IFRA Law team. Of course, there's more to the team, but two of the team members of the IFRA Law team, Abby Block and Sarah Del Shem. So anyway, great. So thank you for being here, ladies. I really appreciate it. This is going to be a fantastic show. We're on the topic of Michigan. We want to talk 2024. So let's just jump right in. Let's talk about, you know, the big issue, tribes. Tribes in 2024. That was the big talking point, right? The Florida case. Give us your breakdown.
So it feels like we can't really talk about what's going to happen in 2025 without talking about what's happened in the years leading up to it. And like you said, a big part of that is the case out of Florida, the Hard Rock Seminole case. And I think there's been a lot of discussion about it. But unfortunately, I think the case is a lot less sexy or far reaching than a lot of people actually think it might be. The ruling out of the circuit court was actually pretty procedural, focused a lot on the rules and procedures around the Indian Gaming Regulatory Act, which, you know, while us lawyers may really like rules and procedures and things like that, probably isn't very exciting for most folks. But ultimately, what that case came down to, in rendering the decision, the court focused on two main principles. First, that IGRA can only regulate gaming activity on tribal land. And second, that a gaming compact between a state and a tribe can talk about a lot of topics, as long as those topics are related to the regulation of gaming activity on tribal land. And so, in the compact at issue in that case between the state of Florida and the Seminole tribe, the parties had essentially just agreed and discussed that any sports wager that was placed in the state would be considered to have taken place on tribal land, provided that it flowed through a server that was located physically on tribal land. And so the court said, listen, they're totally allowed to talk about that. They're allowed to mention it. That doesn't mean that they are giving, carte blanche approval to sports wagering anywhere in the state of Florida. This is just an agreement between the parties. They're allowed to make that agreement because it's related to gaming activity on tribal land. And so, obviously, what we see after that decision is, folks can sports bet in the state of Florida, but it's not, a full blown approval of sports wagering in the state of Florida anywhere and everywhere at any point in time.
Sarah,
So,
thoughts? Sorry, Brennan, you had one there.
no, go ahead. We'll defer to Sarah because I have some questions, but let's keep going.
Well, what I find interesting, and thank you both for having us today. We're really excited to talk to you guys. But what I find interesting about it is how Florida is now going to move forward now that Seminole Hard Rock has sort of been given the gold standard, the only way to proceed. And from what I see on the regulatory licensing side, is the potential that Seminole might work with some of these other big players, and how they could potentially get involved. And what I find most interesting and what I hope to talk about today is how this may impact other states as they progress, in their scheme and trying to get the tribes involved, as they hopefully legalize sports betting as well.
You took the words right out of my mouth because that's exactly where I wanted to go, which is, you have people out there that say, hey, this is the pathway forward as it relates to California, or hey, this is going to help us in Oklahoma or some of these other larger states. As we look to 25, in heading into this, what does the Florida case, and you alluded to part of this too, of what also happens with Florida. Because we've heard, earlier during G2E that, Hard Rock's open to having conversations with anybody and everybody that would be interested in doing this in the state. But what does that look like? And I'll defer to either of you
Yeah, I mean,
to answer that.
I'll try, and then Abby, you can feel free to pop in if you can, if you have your opinions. But I think what's interesting, might not translate what bated breath to see how they'll proceed, but the tribal scheme in Florida is very different than you have in California, with over 60 tribes involved in the gaming realm. In Florida, I mean, it's really the Seminoles, and that they pretty much dominate the market. So to give them, the full rights to sports betting maybe works for Florida, but I don't see any way how that would potentially work in any other state that has a vast tribal gaming market.
Yeah, I think that that's really interesting, and that's one of the things that Brendan and I talk about a lot, which is it's really just Florida is so unique as we look across the tribal landscape, and frankly, every tribal state is very different, and that is just the way that is just the case. But to say that simply one model that works in one state is going to carry over, that would like me very naive to say, well, the Michigan model works perfectly everywhere else, right? It just isn't necessarily going to work, and each tribal state is going to be very different. So, and I think that that was a great segue, and Abby, I guess I want to sort of pivot over to you looking to 2025 then. And so, beyond just kind of the nature of, the tribal landscape and what we may see there, what else are you sort of seeing as it relates to, the legally in this industry, regulatory, what are some other things that you're seeing come across your plate?
Sure. So one of the things I think we're going to see a lot more of is consumer-based litigation and disputes. As the gaming industry becomes more widespread, more accessible to more folks throughout the country, you're going to have more consumers who are unhappy. That's just kind of how it goes with consumer-facing industries, particularly in one like gaming, where folks have the opportunity to spend and or lose significant amounts of money. That's just kind of how it goes. So we've already seen a lot of litigation, kind of as a postscript to our prior discussion about Hard Rock. Right now, they are facing a consumer-based class action in which it's alleged that they engaged in deceptive advertising. Similarly, we are seeing DraftKings facing a lawsuit in Massachusetts. In that case, again, it's alleged that they engaged in deceptive advertising about some of their promos and the language used in those. In that case, actually, a motion to dismiss was just denied by the court. So the case is going to proceed into the discovery phase. And so for now, those operators are going to have to, engage in a lot of litigation, which is expensive and it can be harmful to reputational interests. So obviously, something that I think a lot of operators want to avoid. Additionally, we're seeing litigation in some of the gray market areas, specifically in the sweepstakes area. We've seen just a huge proliferation of litigation in the last weeks, months, just a huge expansion of that.
I think you brought up one of the other things I wanted to highlight, and that's obviously sweeps, because as Brand opened up the show, we've heard a lot about tribes and everything else in 2024. Obviously, and part of this has been with tribal interest in mind off of this, is obviously sweeps has been sweeping across the
I
United
see what
States.
you
But
did there. Very, very clever, by the way.
I try. Just, a little bit of A little bit in there. But where does this end up? Because obviously you've got the ones that have been at it here for a while. You've got the guy in Australia that thinks he owns the whole world and can do whatever the hell he pleases because he has a Malta license. Where do you see guys where do you guys see this happening in 25?
So, you
Well,
know, oh, sorry, go
go
ahead, Zach.
ahead, Abby. You got it.
I was going to say, as many lawsuits as there are, there's the merits of those lawsuits are yet to be determined, and I think that could have a big impact on how the industry kind of evolves with the sweepstakes operators. To be clear, anybody can really bring a lawsuit. You can have all kinds of procedural protections in your terms and procedures, and the merits of that lawsuit can be absolute garbage. That doesn't stop them from bringing it in the first place. There's a lot of plaintiffs' attorneys who are really eager to do that. But what will be interesting and impactful for the industry will be how the courts decide these cases. Right now, most of them are kind of wrapped up in procedural issues. But if you get a court ruling saying this is not gambling, point blank, then I think that really has an impact on the way regulators might interact with it. On the other hand, obviously these lawsuits are bringing notoriety to the sweepstakes industry, and it may kind of force the hand of regulators to say, okay, we can't avoid talking about this anymore. We've got to take a step into regulating or, sending cease and desist letters to these operators or deciding, we're going to regulate this as we do with other forms of gaming in the state.
Yeah, and sort of to piggyback off Abby, what's been interesting is that the one state that has been most successful at, maybe stamping out the sweeps market is Michigan. And they have been able to rely on their legalized iGaming and all of their licensing requirements for any sort of gaming company. So what I would say, to any of these states that are concerned about the sweeps market is perhaps to consider regulating it. You don't really have, as we've seen in all of DFS, the thing that has become most successful with the states and being able to go after what exact type of offerings they want to have is if they regulate it. All these states that have decided sort of not to touch daily fantasy or touch anything like that, they haven't really done anything to go after and protect their consumers. So, I mean, my hope for 2025 is that maybe, fingers crossed, we can see more regulation and legalization of iGaming. But on the other hand, what's been really interesting about Michigan is that once Michigan came in and sent out all of their cease and desist to sweeps, there was not an uptick in iGaming, which maybe tells us that the consumers that are interested in playing sweeps aren't so interested in playing iGaming. Now, what that is, I don't know. I'm not in those consumers' minds, but there must be a different market of people that are interested in sweeps gaming and a different market of people interested in iGaming. So, I mean, as everything else in a free market, I would say if you have customers interested in both, perhaps the way to go about it is to license and regulate a sweeps market, the way that we've seen states come in and regulate and license DFS.
That's interesting. Interesting observation. I not to get in a back and forth with you, but I love the part about more regulation on iGaming. I may just pivot and say, I'd love to see that one. It would be interesting to see that later part point you made, Sarah, about regulation on sweeps. I think that it's a very interesting point. I think one of the things that I've noticed is that maybe what we haven't seen, and the reason we haven't seen the uptick in the numbers yet, is because we always have these 30-day delay reporting periods, and we're only 60 days out, 90 days out from those cease and desist letters, which do take time. So, but I'm very interested in that point, and I do want to see how that plays out over time, right? But I think where we absolutely both fully align is the fact that we would love to see more regulation of iGaming throughout 2025,
You
right? I mean,
like started to glow when she said that,
I
Brandon.
did. I
You
was
know,
like, I was right at the
between
point of, I was right at the point of that is the line of the podcast. And then she said that second part. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Well,
Do some
between
editing.
that and between that, and the number of times Michigan's been mentioned in that, it's like the drinking game that people are going to watch this, and every time they hear Michigan,
Yeah,
they're going to have to take a drink because it's all the Brand Iden show about everything that was great in Michigan. You know,
it's a fair point. It's a fair point. That's a
it's
fair point. So let's
yeah.
look at, and I do want to go on the point of 2025, and I do want to look at, what else do you, as you look at, and this is always the crystal ball, right? As we look at those states that are out there, because I ask every guest this, by the way, when we talk iGaming, so you can pivot on me if you need to, but what do you see, which states do you think have a shot in 2025 of regulated iGaming? I always get this question. It's a hard one. So, Abby, I'm going to go to you first. Anything on your horizon where you think there may be, or I'll give you an out here as well, which is, what about some other regulation that you may see around gaming, or of course, maybe sports betting, sort of what's your prediction there? A bold prediction for 25.
Okay, I'm going to jump on the latter proposal.
Okay, there you go. I knew I had to get it out. On the regulation.
True lawyer only takes what they want to hear and
That's
goes
right.
with
There
it.
you go. I love it. I
Yes.
love it, by the way.
Yeah.
I'll leave the rest to Sarah. I think what we're going to see is, some regulations that are going to be targeting marketing. As I mentioned earlier, we're seeing a lot of litigation to that effect. And so I think maybe regulators may take notice of that and, preemptively try to prevent those kinds of lawsuits. Sarah and I have had a lot of discussions about what is and what isn't effective, especially with regard to like responsible gaming messages. And we really think that regulators need to take a good, hard, fast look at what's working and what isn't. There are enough states now that have legalized sports betting that they can look at and look at the numbers and see what does and what doesn't work, what's too complex and overly regulated to the point where it's not even effective anymore. And to also really think about, in the year 2024, 2025, how are we getting our message out to people? Are these regular responsible gaming messages that we are so used to, at the bottom of the screen during a commercial, are those effective, or are people just going to fast forward through those? When folks are getting their advertisements on podcasts, are they just going to fast forward through those responsible gaming messages? And we need to be looking at all of those nuances, the realities of the market that we're looking at now. And I think regulators need to do that as well.
And I just want to piggyback off what Abby said. I have to say it is that the key to getting around all this is not to put regulations to stop marketing, as that would be a violation of the First Amendment. So what the key is not to say, no, you cannot market this. That's the beauty of our country and a free market and the First Amendment. So I just wanted to add that on to everything. And I totally agree that we need to really focus on what is effective. And how to not only make it so that all these operators can effectively market their product, but also in a way that's safe, and always keep in mind that there is a person on the other end.
You bring up a very valid point, and Brant, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention it. These legislators sometimes forget this little thing called the Constitution. It's a beautiful document that people need to remember, especially the ones at the federal level that just need to stay the hell out of our business. But that's a whole different story. But
It's a whole nother podcast. That's the
that's
Freedom
next week.
Podcast with Brendan Bussman. That's a different podcast.
Oh well, we can do that one too if we need to. But it is what it is. But do you see anything sort of in back on the iGaming front, you know, I know you guys sort of circumvented over the potential off of that. Where do you see the best opportunities potentially for some sort of level of regulation as it relates to iGaming? The
I don't
silence
know.
is deafening.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, I think that sort of going back to what I said before, the popularity of the sweeps market has really told us that these types of products are popular and, you know, people are playing them. And the uptick in litigation says that we need to find a way to make sure that people are playing these types of games in a safe and regulated way. And I hope that maybe these states will see that, and maybe it will be that push that they need, that maybe legalizing iGaming is the way forward. Now, I'm not going to try to predict which states will and won't, because I tried to do that at the end of 23 and I was wrong about almost every single one. So
Well, I've been wrong every
I
year.
would
Don't worry
rather
about it.
never be
It's
wrong.
fine. Who was right about the election?
Yeah,
I might have
right.
been
No,
wrong
okay.
about
All
some of the
right,
other
Brendan. All
predictions,
right,
but
all
I was
right.
right about the election.
Abby, any final words?
You know, I think 2025 is going to be a year where we see a lot of new and exciting things. I would just advise folks to not, you know, be scared off by some of like the boogeymen that so often come into conversation. You know, there's so many tools out there that we can use to our advantage that, you know, may be touted as harmful, but like things like AI, they can be used to help folks. They can be used to make a more effective business model. They can target responsible gaming issues. They can target fraud issues. That's something I'm looking forward to seeing in 2025, seeing how the operators really take advantage of that and use it to benefit not only their business, but also consumers as well.
Awesome. Abby, Sarah, the entire IFRA Law team, we appreciate it. Thank you so much for joining us. This has been fantastic. This has been another episode of the World Series of Politics podcast with your hosts, Brant Iden and Brendan Bussman.
You've been listening to the World Series of Politics podcast with Brendan Bussman and Brant Iden. We'll be back soon for the next coin flip. This has been an IGB production. For the latest news, views, analysis, and data on the global gaming industry, head to iGamingBusiness.com.